Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, a local fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast, hosted by Nick Borowski and Pat Hester.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome back to Good Guys Talk Back, episode 258. Hey, I am Nick Borowski, and this is a fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast. We do it weekly. We do it live on Sunday nights on our YouTube channel. Please subscribe. Pass it along to other Sox fans in your life. We actually have some stuff to talk about. The team looks a bit different than the last time we talked, way back last Sunday. Here to chop everything up with me, my co-host, Pat Hester. Hello, sir.
Hey, buddy. Getz is cooking, and you're doing videos in front of front of cemeteries. Yeah. I was worried that you were ready to open the show and eulogize the 2024 season before it got started, but I'm excited to chop it up with you. Yeah, yeah. Getz is cooking, man. Let him cook.
How about it, man? Last week we talked about what kind of meal would Getz be cooking. You know, this was before really not much at all had happened. A lot of low-hanging fruit, some flyers, some minor league deals, some one-year stuff. Okay. And you talked about Dino Bites and mac and cheese. And I mentioned, you know, something safe like grilled cheese, tomato soup, something simple, you know, you can, it satisfies you. It's simple. Anybody can do it. Nothing too fancy. What will we say after these weekend moves, Pat? Do you have a different meal in mind?
I haven't changed my opinion on the meal. Listen, you're not going to get, I'm not going to try and, you know, pretend I'm something I'm not. I don't know much about the people that they acquired. I don't know if the Sox won any trades or lost any trades.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that, but that's a good point.
Over the last couple of days, I have no idea. All I know is, we know that Scott Merkin has informed us that it's a rebuild. So we've got that figured out. Thanks, Merk. Yeah. That we're aware of it. We know where we stand. It's not really, you know, when you think about what could be done, and I texted you a little bit over the week, and I don't know if we're going to get to that or not, but what could be done in this time period where you could accelerate some timelines, you're really, the thought of, well, we're not tearing it down to the studs. I don't know if you aren't doing that, what else could be done to break it down even more to get really, you know, just prospects and who really knows what prospects are end up going to be in the end. But, you know, it leaves you with just the, okay, let me know when the season starts, I guess. Let me know who's going to win right field at some point, because apparently there's going to be a competition there. Let me know what this 5-man rotation is going to look like ultimately when we get to spring training, and what it's going to look like when we come out of spring training. So that's really where I'm at. I don't want to try and fool our listeners and our fans and trying to let them think that I'm some type of expert on other teams' farm systems and what we got in return, or that I ultimately have the time to look into what these guys are or watch video on that. I'm not going to do it. Maybe you have, Nick. Maybe in your walkabouts around cemeteries, you're looking into all these people and watching video. I didn't have time to do
that. Yeah. Hello to Sydney and Brian. Thank you so much for joining us in the chat. So Gregory Santos gone, Christian Mania. I heard a bunch of different pronunciations on his name. A prospect arm that I know a lot of people were high on. I had some conversations during my good old days with the Locked On White Sox, and we talked prospects, and there was a lot of chatter about that arm and what could potentially be in the next couple of years, perhaps, in the White Sox rotation. Santos, I mean, he could have been your closer in 2024. Mm-hmm. I kind of was surprised he wasn't moved at the trade deadline last season. A big arm, and why do you really need that type of arm when you potentially are going to have the season like the White Sox are going to have in 2024, which, you know, of course brings you to, well, then why would you need an ace like Dylan Cease, or why would you need, you know, Luis Robert Jr. sticking around, wasting his time? You know, we could maybe navigate that. We've kind of have over the weeks in months of the off season. But no, I don't know much about these guys, Pat. And that brings me to, you know, man, the world of instant reactions. I mean, and it's been like this for a while, you know, like anytime something happens, any move, you would have thought like we actually got maybe Whit Merrifield and Perez, or that we signed Bellinger, you know, like the boom, like the different videos and all the comps and the slashes. And this is what this guy's high school said about this guy and what they could do. And it to me, it was like, wow, people really are into these moves here. Pilar, Fletcher, Barrero.
They brought back Scott Fletcher, huh? That's a, I mean, why not?
Alert Las Comiskey. Alert Las Comiskey. Scott Fletcher is back. You know, and good on, hey, man, I know there's people doing a lot of great stuff and have knowledge of these people, but I was shocked at all of like, and I couldn't feel any way, you know, certain way, like when these moves were done. I was like, well, you know, I don't like trading prospect arms, but, you know, I also don't like this, have the Sox have held on to folks for so long.
Yeah.
The Sox are horrible at that. Holding on to guys far longer than they should have. And okay, so you're trying to get rid of somebody, get us some depth, get us some outfield depth. It sure sounds like Fletcher could have a shot to maybe play a lot of right field for the Chicago White Sox. And so I still 24 hours or whatever it is now, more than 24 hours. I don't know. I'm with you. It's like, yeah, there's some highlights. There's some good stuff you can pick apart and, oh, they might have a monster arm or there's upside here. And, you know, they're going to figure out some great, you know, we'll see what we got when they put on a White Sox uniform and they're playing games at 35th and Shields and beyond in 2024 or whenever. But I've been down this road before. Yeah. You know, I don't want to say like, well, because it didn't work before, I'm not going to give it a shot again. I am, but I'm not going to get too excited in a lather, you know, about a deal like this. You know, I like the depth and, you know, I hopefully Fletcher, I think Fletcher's the guy that I'm probably most excited about because they're really, we need outfield, man. We need arms and now we need bullpen and a closer, but that stuff will figure itself out. But the instant reaction, I was just more of like, wow, there's a lot of people that seemingly know a ton about these people. And I'm still trying to figure out how to pronounce their last names.
Well, it's interesting, Nick, and I understand what you're saying, but I also don't blame people for wanting to go down rabbit holes and try and get opinions on people because they've been wandering the desert that is this offseason. And what seemingly has been a lot of off seasons with this team and trade deadlines that don't materialize or rumors or free agents that are never signed or out of the price range. So when you actually have things that are done and moves that are made, you go, all right, let's look into this guy. Maybe this is going to be something to really that we can lean to in 2 or 3 years, you know? So that's, I can't blame people for having some sort of opinion, whether negative or positive, on trades that are happening because that's all that's going on. I mean, if this was amongst other rumors or amongst other, I don't know, maybe not even a big signing, but just in general signings that were happening and bringing people in to improve your ball club, then I could say, well, what are you guys worried about these moves that really aren't going to make a difference for this 2024 season? Let's concentrate on the now. That's all you have is to concentrate on what the future might be.
Yeah. And Brian had a good point. I was thinking about this too, and it was brought up a few times. Barfield is now in the White Sox organization, came from Arizona, and that's, you know, a partner, a trading partner that we dealt with. And Barfield must have seen something in Fletcher and said, you know, we got to get our hands on this guy. This guy fits into our system. I like that guy in Arizona. That would be great if we can orchestrate that type of trade and bring him to the South side. And I think when you and I have tossed around the whole, like, why are we trying to become the Royals? And why are we not trying to bring in executives, bring in people from you know, successful winning organizations that maybe do a really nice job developing talent or have rich farm systems, because you can then use that knowledge from those executives, you know, that background, that insight, to see, well, where are there pockets in MLB that we really should be looking at? Mm-hmm. You know, we know why we're dealing with the Royals all the time, because it's just comfort, right? It Getz and Grifol, like they want to bring people around that they've worked with. You know, everybody seems to be new, kind of learning on the job. So it's like, well, where did you get your most experience? Well, Kansas City. Well, think about Kansas City. You know, if you like what was going on in Kansas City, let's bring them here. The thing with Barfield was like, well, Arizona got to the World Series.
Yeah.
All right. They got some young talent, some exciting young talent. And that I like that. You know, yeah. And I like when people come from other organizations, if we can get them and they're willing to do that. Outside of the organization has always been a problem with the White Sox, but that's, I like that. It gets me excited, because what else is going on that we're missing, you know, in with good organizations that really have got their ducks in a row. So that's where this Fletcher guy, that's excited me the most.
Yeah. And you have to wonder too, Nick, and again, things can be done during spring training, but I mean, pitchers and catchers are going to be reporting here. Is it in 10 days or is it less than 10 days? I can't remember now. I think
it's about 10. It's a Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. And that, by the way, for everyone out there, all the men out there, Valentine's Day is 10 days away. You might want to go out and get that card now before they're sold out at Walgreens, because, you know, sometimes I'll do that, buy the card the day of, and then you can't find much. So go out and get your Valentine's Day card. Anywho, sure. It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next, you know, just over a week here in between then, to see if there's any other moves to be had. And again, because you're still looking at positions that are unfilled and guys really just have an opportunity to win jobs. So, I mean, I really would like something to be done that's more of a positive, that's more that would affect this team this year. But again, I guess I just have to be resigned to the fact that it's not about this year. That's Getz is telling us loudly it's not about this year with his actions. So I guess we just have to embrace and kind of pick at the straws that are going to satisfy us throughout the year, and look for those individual contributions throughout the year that are going to, you know, excite us, because we're running out of time really to make any kind of saving grace for whatever this season is, despite what people are saying, you know, in the organization about, well, it's still the Central type of BS. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Oh yeah. No,
I don't know. I don't know why this is becoming feeling so sobering for me at this point. I guess I thought I was holding out hope, I guess, Nick, that, you know, maybe there would be, maybe not big splash moves to be made, but maybe there would be something to be done and go, okay, we can rebuild, but we can still compete in this division this year. We can still, and maybe we won't win it. Maybe we won't even come higher than third, but you know, we can improve on this team from last year, but I just don't feel like it's going to be much of an improvement now.
Yeah. You hit it, man. Cause I was going to ask you as a follow-up, like, well, the fact that there haven't been any big, substantial, maybe, you know, needle moving type of moves on your excitement radar. Well, that's because this year is really a development year. You know, yeah. It's for Getz to see, well, what was I able to cobble together over this offseason? What do we have, you know, in the pipeline? Where could we potentially get better at the trade deadline? And then we might have some money. Right in the off season, we've heard this before. We've talked ourselves into this.
That's only under the Rick Hahn era. Yeah. That era is over. The money will no longer be spent.
Yeah. So, you know, everything's cyclical, and you're starting to feel like that a little bit. But hey, Getz, you can't blame Getz for the stuff that happened with Hahn, and you can blame Jerry, and absolutely you should blame Jerry and some of the other execs that are around him that haven't moved for a long period of time. But it does feel like things are a little bit different, answering some areas of depth. But does it bother you, Pat, that, you know, by the trade, trying to get better by the trade, when you could just go out and you could spend money and you could solve that right field issue, right? You could.
Well, you could. I mean, I was texting this week, and it was a lot of because the conversation on the radio this week was about a lot of the Boris clients that haven't signed or they haven't gotten the dollars that they've been seeking. And Cody Bellinger is one of them that played on the north side. How long have we been searching for, you know, a lefty power bat that also can play an outfield position? I mean, it's been, I mean, a lefty bat that's in the outfield that can hit home runs, I think forever, but you know, we really haven't had a right fielder since Jermaine Dye that we celebrated his birthday last week.
Yeah.
And Maglio Ordóñez that you can say, you know, every day we're probably going to have the better right fielder, you know, and most days we're going to line up against another team. And there's a good chance that we have as good or better
right fielder.
Actual right fielder.
Yeah.
And it's been a mission of trying to seek and develop and bring guys up and along. And I thought, you know, this is just a pipe dream. And I get that, you know, of mine as I'm listening to this, but I would think if I'm the owner of this team, or if I'm in management, I say, you know what, we are going through a rebuild right now. I see our rebuild and we could be back and competitive again at first blush without any more moves being made, maybe in two years, we'll call it 2 years. Cause they said it's not a massive, you know, down to the studs rebuild, right? Mm. Last time we did that, that was a 5-year plan. If we're not doing that, I look at this as like a 2-year plan. Why not go out and get Cody Bellinger when Boris isn't getting top dollar for his guys right now? Why not maybe overpay him on a year's basis instead of 30 for 8 years, which is what I think he's looking for. Why don't you pay him like 45 for 3 or 4 years? You pay the premium less than the years and then give him an opportunity to go back to free agency and give him maybe like an option on the last year. So you sweeten the deal there so he can have an option to, you know, to opt out of his deal after the third year. He can go back into free agency and hit the bank again. And then he's not moving and all that kind of stuff. And I know that this is not going to happen, but I just wonder if those conversations are being had. And it's like, okay, listen, let's look at this realistically. Andrew Benintendi is, you know, we give him a hard time. He's probably not going to hit a lot of home runs this year, but I would say he's an above average outfielder. And I would say he can at least handle the bat in the batter's box. And you could say, I can win with a guy like an Andrew Benintendi. We know what Luis Robert is, and you put in a Cody Bellinger in right field. I think that gives you a completely different outlook on this season. Now, it hasn't solved any pitching issues, but I think you could look at that and go, wow, this team is probably still not going to win this division, even with Cody Bellinger, but it accelerates the timeline on the rebuild. It answers a position of need for that has been out there for so many years. And it's a guy that we probably should have went after when he was a free agent the last time with the Dodgers. So, and the only reason I texted you about this this week, Nick, is because it's a Boris guy. Boris guys aren't getting what they want right now. And maybe it's an opportunity to get a guy below, maybe not his value, but below the Boris value. And you could swoop in and get a guy that other people are coveting. But I know that's not going to happen. And then it was also curious for me to think about with this Boris connection. You know, Dylan Cease is a Boris client. Maybe you go to Cease now, and instead of trying to trade him, you try and lock him up. He's got another year of control after this one. Maybe you get a deal. Maybe you get a deal done, because maybe this is the new norm with Boris. Maybe it's not what we've become used to. But then again, next week, all his guys could be signed for these hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And what I'm saying about is moot. But I would hope that they're creative and thinking enough to look at it and go, boy, maybe now this is the right opportunity to try and go after a Boris client and have a $100 million player. Maybe we don't have to do it for over 7 or 8 or 9 years. We'd have to overpay in the now, but we think that we're going to be ready to compete in 2 or 3 years, and we're going to have a superstar in the middle of our lineup. That's just the way I was thinking about it.
No, you're lockstep with what I've been thinking about, and I think a lot of Sox fans think about, and that's what frustrates us, right? Is we are feeling defeated that's not even a possibility because of who our owner and ownership group are and what they have traditionally done and the lack of results, you know, when we did have that moment to kind of jump it a little bit and get ahead, and we had the money, and it's like, this could accelerate things. This could change the organization for a decade, if not more. That thing with Bellinger or re-signing maybe Dylan Cease and committing to him long-term or being able to do those types, that would get me more excited than, you know, a stadium in Chicago 78 with a beautiful skyline. It's like, great. We all would love to have a wonderful, highly regarded, beautiful stadium that the rest of the MLB covets and everything. What's going on with the team? What's going on with the product? Mm-hmm. How are you changing the way you do development, business, creating a winning team, and going after, you know, the big fish? That would completely change the narrative, you know, instead of all these like kind of nickel and dime, or we're going to take a flyer on this guy. Well, defense should be better. Well, the bar has been so low. Of course it should be better. You know, go after the big fish. I'd love to see that. You got Blake Snell. You got, I think Jordan Montgomery still out there. You know, if you want to talk about pitching and changing completely the narrative and getting ahead and shocking the system, shocking MLB, and saying, you know what, this is a new way of doing things. We as a White Sox team, you know, we're going to spend money when we have the opportunity to get somebody in that can change our team. We're doing it. The whole talk about, you know, rebuild, and is it a big rebuild or is it a small rebuild? Is it a big coincidence or is it a small coincidence? A coincidence is a coincidence. There are no little coincidences or big coincidences. So, you know, at the beginning of the offseason, we were told, I think by Jerry, that this wasn't going to be a rebuild. And the word rebuild was not allowed to be used. Retool, maybe reimagine. And we all know, if you've been paying attention to this team for a while, it was all BS.
Let's all just imagine together.
Can we all have a group? Just, you know, what would
you imagination like? Day at the ballpark,
you know,
brought to you by Sesame Street,
write your idea on a paper cloud, put it up somewhere in the ballpark. Someone will come around and read it and we'll collect all the thoughts and we'll put it in one big bubble. And that's what we're looking to do with this team. So we were told about all of this stuff. And, you know, that is completely gone away. Now, you could say, well, if you're going to tear it down, you've got to get rid of Robert and I'm assuming Cease. But a rebuild is a rebuild. They're going in a completely different direction, trying to find a different culture, a different chemistry, a different way of playing the game. And this is what you got from Merkin, you know, who's been at it for a long time, man. Mm-hmm. He's been on the Chicago White Sox beat for, gosh, well before the 05 team, I think early 2000s, he's been around for a while.
Yeah, and if you're going to read the paragraph, I think you're going to read, it reads to me like he's utterly exhausted by this team.
He's speaking how he feels or writing how he thinks. That comes through sometimes in writing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've seen it, he might need a sabbatical. He just might need to take a break.
And he's going to get one. He's going to go out to Arizona. It's going to be like vacation for him.
I'm going to track him down. I'm going to buy him a burrito or something and just try to figure out. Just hopefully he's all right. You know, everything's okay with him. Yeah. This is a blurb. This is just one paragraph from his most recent article, White Sox mailer, what have you, that showed up in my email inbox. The White Sox have improved depth in their system as they embark on this latest rebuild. And it clearly is a rebuild. It's what had to happen after the last rebuild netted 2 playoff wins in total. It just won't be a tear it down to the ground floor sort of rebuild. So again, if your team's rebuilding, it's a rebuild. That's not a good feeling.
I love it when you analyze.
It's just to say, well, you shouldn't feel that bad, Sox fans. We're not tearing it down to the ground. It's just going to be a little bit of a rebuild.
Do you think he had like a bonus from his editor? Like if he said rebuild enough times in the article? I love Merck, by the way.
Great well guy. He's come on the podcast a few times, especially back in the 2021 season. I ran into him at spring training last year.
Well, there you go.
Very nice guy, but you know, he's coming out and he's completely labeling it now, which again, you know, you have to. It's so obvious. Mm-hmm. And to say, well, this team can compete in 2024, when you saw everything that was going to need to happen and Getz coming in, who, you know, the whole I don't like this team or I don't like our team, whatever, and bringing in new people around him. I mean, it's like, okay, go ahead, do something different. That takes time, right?
Yeah,
that takes absolute time, because if you're trying to get the right type of people in, because you don't think the type of people are correct that you have, you know, on your roster, well, you've got to use those assets.
Yeah.
So you there's goes some, you know, now let me ask you this, Pat, do you get mm-hmm. caught up, you know, going into 2024 and saying, and by the way, we have money in this. So I don't, you know, we're going to talk about this.
Not big money. Let's
not big money, but we did bet that the Sox are going to win the division. We had plus 3,500 odds. And when you have those types of odds, you take that, you put some money on that. You all will be doing it, you know, this Super Bowl week with some crazy bets that go on. We've got skin in the game, but this team could very well lose 90, 95 games.
Oh Lord, heaven help us.
It will be there for it, folks. We'll be absolutely there for it. Do you somehow say to yourself, like in a weird Stockholm syndrome way, well, at least it's not 100. So I can kind of rest easy. Oh. This team will not lose 100. So it's okay. It's okay. I can be fine with that.
I don't think I can be fine with that. I mean, regardless of what you're going to label the season as, your team loses 90 plus games, it's not going to feel fantastic. Whether it's, you know, whatever, if you are a losing team, meaning if you're below 500, I don't feel great about it. You know, at least I can say it with a 500 and above team. It's hard to say that after the last 500 team that we watched a couple of years ago was so utterly disappointing. But at least you could say, I had a reason to get turn on the TV or turn on the radio and listen or watch this team, because, okay, there's a chance that they can win. There's a chance they can go on a run. I'm excited with a team like that. That's obviously going to be well below 500 to begin the season. It's like you're defeated before you even turn the TV on. And it's like, why am I going to even invest my time? But we will, and I will, and I know you will, into watching this. So then it goes to from the expectation that the team might win a game to the, okay, maybe I'm looking for individual performance here. And you're going to watch that with Cease every fifth day and Luis Robert Jr. And maybe there's a guy, a prospect or whoever it might be. Maybe it's a Colson Montgomery when he comes up in probably August or whatever.
Don't rush him though.
I don't want to rush him. I have no,
I don't have the stink of this 2024 team on him.
I don't even care if they said, well, he won the job coming out of spring training. It's like, listen, I've seen it go bad. For guys that got rushed up, there's no reason to. So outside of those situations, I don't know really what the purpose of it is watching this team. And, but I'll find a reason. I know I will, but I'm not going to feel any better if this team loses 90 games versus 100 games. It's going to suck.
I have no interest in arguing of if they're going to lose, you know, 95 or 100 or 90. I mean, they're going to be bad right now. Now, could they be a better version of bad? Well, that's a weird game to play that you can compartmentalize as a fan. Sure. And you can say, well, you know, this looks like the type of team or the character or the whatever that they can build on. It looks like Grifols guys or Getz, you know, got some winners here, or, you know, maybe we do see some good things, you know, things match up, right? Like these puzzle pieces fit and it looks a little bit better, feels a little bit better. I mean, it has to, right? Cause last year was so bad. But, you know, yeah, Howard brings up a great point. You know, this has been talked about, but we sometimes forget, like, tanking gets you nothing. You know, a race to the bottom doesn't get you what it used to get you. You know, so
yeah.
Win. Like, go after those guys. spend your money and go after those guys.
Well, it's interesting. You say spend the money, and that's almost laughable. But if you think about it in terms of spending money versus what you spent last year and the year before that, I think if memory serves, and forgive me if I'm wrong, they're right around $130 million in terms of their payroll for this year's team. And I could be off. Obviously, moves have been made. Things have changed since I recently looked. But if you're at 130, and I had mentioned maybe some guys that you could bring in and high price tags on a year-by-year basis, if you brought in Bellinger and you paid him $30 million for a year, that gets you to 160. That's still $20 million less than you spent versus last year's salary, which I think was in the 180s, if memory serves.
Yeah.
So theoretically, Nick, and what did Robbie Ray get? When he said it is $15 million when we,
whatever he got, it was definitely something the Sox could have done.
So you think about a contract like that for some of the pitching that's still out there, like a $15 million a year, why couldn't you go spend $45 million on two players that could really help your team now and in the future? I mean, why not? And you'd still be below what you had spent versus the last couple of years when you were quote unquote in your contention window. I don't see the use in holding on to dollars when you know what this industry is, and it's a business, and it's an industry that's bringing in billions of dollars, and these owners can cry poor as much as they want, and this owner can cry poor as much as you want, but don't tell me that you have no money when you own two franchises and you're worth in the billions of dollars. And oh, by the way, the first day of the baseball season, you're going to get somewhere in the area of $70 to $80 million just for operating as a team.
Yeah. It's obviously the mindset, the philosophy, the way of doing business. Reinsdorf is not thinking the way fans are thinking, of course. That's the most obvious thing to say. And why does Jerry hate us? And I can't wait for a new owner. This, that. Jerry operates the way he operates. You know, he's going to operate it and he's going to make his money. And the Sox have been making money, you know, since he bought the team. And that's how he goes about it. I think the Kansas City Royals, I heard something today. I don't know what the truth is in this, but that they're going to try to get Bobby Witt Jr., their superstar, their young guy, or, you know, maybe extended. They're one of the few that have yet to give $100 million contract, rope somebody up in $100 million contract. I think it's the Oakland Athletics, the Chicago White Sox, and the Royals. So if somehow the Royals can figure out how to do that, then it's down to the Sox and the A's who have yet to accomplish that. I mean, that just to wrap your head around that the Chicago White Sox have never done something like that. That's all you need to know.
And I don't see the A's, given their situation and moving out of Oakland and into Las Vegas at some point. I don't know when all that's happening, but I don't think that they're going to be coming into a lot of money in the near future, because who's going to be on to be a partner and a sponsor of the Oakland Athletics to where they can have revenue streams coming in to support that? And if I'm the Kansas City Royals, I look in the parking lot that I share with the Kansas City Chiefs and go, you know what? Look at these fans that we have in this market. Look at the way that team is supported. These are the same fans that we have. Why couldn't we strive for greatness? Why shouldn't we be striving for greatness? Why won't we go out and spend money when we haven't spent money? Why shouldn't we put a consistent winner on the field and take care of the fans that we know are here, that we know will come out and support this team like they do the Kansas City Chiefs, if we can provide them star power like that team has and do it the right way with some great coaches and a great organization. And obviously a superstar doesn't hurt. You know, why wouldn't you want to do that? But that's to me, that's just small-minded, small market thinking that it just doesn't work out. And unfortunately, we have small-minded, small market thinking in the fourth largest market in baseball.
So that's why we talk about these moves that happened this past weekend. And in the grand scheme of things, what the Sox kind of self-impose, what their limitations are, again, these are the limitations they put on themselves. Okay, I could see some positives, you know, in what was netted. Jeff Passan seemed to be pretty excited about it. Between Fletcher and Deloche, They've added the White Sox, of course, an outfield that was sorely lacking depth. That's an understatement. You know, we just didn't have a lot of depth, and now it looks a little bit better here. And again, what are you going to do with Santos on a team that is going really nowhere in 2024? Go ahead, get something that you need. And Mania, you know, Dane Dunning was pitching in the Chicago White Sox, in a White Sox uniform when he got dealt that offseason for Lance Lynn. That one stung, but it was like, you know what? We don't know what Dane Dunning could amount to. You know, let's go after a proven guy, an arm that, you know, can fit right into this rotation, that can bolster this rotation, a veteran with some experience, playoff experience. It made sense to me. Okay. This move, you know, again, great. You know, if you don't think Mania is going to amount to much, or maybe he is in your mind, but you'd rather have some of this outfield depth, then look, I'll wait to see and judge it, you know, when we see how Fletcher plays and others, if they make it. A guy that at this time we were being, we were inundated with hype videos, and he had a slow spring at the beginning, but then, boy, he came out strong. But, you know, really amounted to nothing. So, again, that's, again, where we're coming with this jaded kind of viewpoint when it comes to prospects is just you don't know. You know, nothing's a guarantee. And I'm speaking of Romy Gonzalez. He was DFA'd by the White Sox, cleared, and then the Boston Red Sox picked him up. So the end of the Romy Gonzalez era, Pat.
Well, the guy that was untradeable. Right. You can't get rid of this guy. Right. Who said that? Who told
Rick Hahn said that in the offseason that he had, I don't think he named names, but he had players coming up to him and saying, wow, Romy Gonzalez has improved his game. He's gotten stronger. Watch out for this guy. Do not trade this guy. And we saw all the videos with him training again. It was like something out of Rocky. You know, and he's going to be the starting second baseman. I think he ended up being the starting right fielder on opening day for the 2023 White Sox. And hey, I don't know. I wish him well. Maybe a change of scenery. But again, you know, here we go. That's why we're trying to find, you know, our next second baseman and some outfield depth, because the Romy Gonzalez thing didn't work out.
Yeah, so good luck to Romy. He had a couple of moments and had a nice cup of coffee with the Chicago White Sox. I wish him nothing but the best. It would be nice to have. You talk about, you know, the depth, right? Mm-hmm. And how we've lacked in depth. We've also lacked in people in the forefront. We've also lacked in starters. I'm looking forward to the moment in time when we're improving our starting players and not just say, well, we've got to improve our depth. Depth is fantastic, but you don't go to opening day with depth. You go to opening day with starters. So anyway, that's
how about these start. Like, so if you're trying to sell merchandise or get people excited for this team right now, I mean, who are the players that are really moving the needle? I mean, Robert, of course, Moncada, Aloy. I mean, Cease if he's still around, but that's a big question mark. You know, is that it? And I don't even know. And I say that in a question because, I mean, Robert, for sure, there's no question about that. People are going to be coming out to watch this guy play so they can say, wow, I watched Luis Robert Jr. In person after he finished his career with some other team down the road. But Aloy and Moncada, I don't, you know, I guess people, you know, are buying their jerseys, getting excited maybe for them. I don't know. I've definitely fallen off the excitement train with those two long time ago.
Yeah. That's what I think, Nick, will make spring training will be the interesting part, is because, you know, will they tease us enough, both of them, will they tease us enough to get excited about them and think, oh, back the baseball card time, baby, even though they've none of them have ever had a baseball card to be proud of. But it's back of the baseball card time for both of those guys, and custom levels. and we just need to get that evil Rick Hahn out of the way. And now we're going to get these guys in motion. And again, I hope that's the case. I really do, because I would love these guys to actually, get to the ceiling that a lot of people thought they could get to, at least for Aloy, even if he's just a train wreck with every other thing that you can do in baseball. Can you be a one tool player? And that one tool that you're supposed to have is hitting the ball at the ballpark. I mean, I can, this will where I'll be a sucker for it, Nick, is if he's in some sort of home run chase or something.
What if he had like a stretch like Berger had and just Berger couldn't miss. And it was just day after day. It was either a big hit or it was a bomb. Sometimes two bombs in a game winning. What if he had that kind of stretch, Aloy? I mean, how about that?
Yeah.
How
about that to start the season? Something like that to give some excitement and some juice and momentum.
What if Aloy had like a You're Mean Mercedes kind of start to the season?
Oh, look out. Look out for the burgers being named. That would be great.
That would be something. You know, like, I just want to see that kind of stretch from him where he's just feared. Yeah. He's absolutely feared. Nobody wants to pitch to him. It makes everybody else in the lineup, the DeYoungs and the Lopez's, so much more dangerous. I want to see
him even say that with a straight face. I like how you just started that, the DeYoungs, and you're laughing. You're laughing at the same time.
It's going to be great.
Speaking of fear, do you have any fear that Gavin Sheets will be playing right field, given in that article we mentioned by Scott Merkin that he's changed his swing path and he's felt, I think he maybe said something to the effect of, I feel better than I've ever felt in my life.
Well, sure.
Like, because everybody's, that's tis the season. Do you have fear that Gavin Sheets will be roaming right field when opening day comes around?
Of course I have a fear. I absolutely have a fear. With the depth that they have acquired this weekend.
the depth.
And, you know, Getz teasing us that, you know, even though we're, 10 days away from pitchers and catchers, there can still be some deals done. We're always looking to improve, folks, ladies and gentlemen, ticket holders. Sydney asked, well, when are those single-game tickets on sale? I can't wait to get my hands on them. Usually it's around when pitchers and catchers report. Sheets popped off on some motivational quotes, I think early last week, about how someone put a microphone in front of him and he went off about, you know, everybody is counting us out and we just got to prove everybody wrong. And this is the first time in my tenure where we're not favored, which I don't know, where was he last year? I don't see the side. I mean, where was he? That's what I want to know. Did you just forget about all of last season?
He was at Imagination Day. That's where he got lost in imagination, the reimagining.
Yeah, you can get lost in there. It's easy to be done. I know he's been asked to do things that he shouldn't ever have done. He has tried to get better, and I think he's just, you know, when you can't do something and you're trying to do something and it just doesn't go right, it's sad. It's sad all the way around. You're trying to find a spot on this team. You're trying to find value. I don't know what the value is. Sure, he can bring you some power every now and then with his bat, but he doesn't seem to be the makeup of the type of player that Getz and Grifol want to put together. And now you've got these other outfielders. And I just hope somebody completely wins the position of, lefty bat off the bench and right field, and he can go away and we can start clean.
But we haven't tried him at second base yet, though, Nick.
Look, it was last spring training when there was talk of Berger going to second base.
Oh, the videos were coming out. There he is. He's working that double play combo, making the turn.
Well, hey, when I'm there in March, I will get to the practice fields early just to see if I can see any glimpses of Sheets taking ground balls at second base.
I think you find that Scott Merkin, you hang close to him, hang tight. And then when he gets, into the clubhouse, you can kind of ask a couple questions to Pedro. Hey, Pedro, I got a great idea. Have you thought about putting Gavin Sheets at second base? Why not try it out?
Look, I don't know if he'd admit it to me, though. You know, he probably wouldn't want to give me the satisfaction.
Thank you, Howard. Howard is so straight-laced that to tell me that that won't happen because he's Howard, believe me,
I don't wouldn't be surprised.
This is all funny.
What if we find out that Gavin Sheets figured out how to field with you know, as a righty, and that's what he was working on this offseason? He's ambidextrous, and he like, this was my big project in the offseason, and now I've got this all figured out. See how valuable I am to this team? You can't let me go. You need
me. Look at me. I'm amphibious.
Knowing he's going to hit, what, 2-3 bombs on opening day, and Gavin Sheets will be a – he'll have a burger named after him or a sandwich or something.
He's a good-looking young man. Why not give him a burger?
Now, Corbin Burnes went to the Baltimore Orioles. They pulled the trigger. I wasn't overwhelmed necessarily with the prospects that were going back to Milwaukee. That's fine. But, you know, maybe with the Orioles getting this big fish in Corbin Burnes, they've got their guy. And maybe they're not interested in Dylan Cease. I think they still have the prospects. You know, and I think I heard a lot of chatter of like, well, Getz really dodged that one, you know. And I had a question, and I don't know exactly how to frame it, or so I'm just going to kind of go into it. You know, we all, you've heard of the term good miss. You know, we talk about it in golf all the time. That's basically our game. It's just good misses. That's all it is. But, you know, in this world, maybe Getz, you know, he's waiting for a better deal. What Getz is waiting. Maybe he just doesn't know what he's doing, you know, he doesn't know how to do this deal. This is a big deal. Mm-hmm. This is going to be his biggest deal. And maybe for a while with an asset like Dylan Cease. Maybe he just, you know, it's gun shy. He's just, and he missed out on it. Milwaukee and Baltimore got involved, and we're all like, oh, I see your game, Getz. Good way to stand pat on that. But really, he's like, I didn't know what to do. I just couldn't. I froze. I don't know how to put this deal together. And we're all thinking he's just like this mastermind because he's waiting. So I don't know if he's going to pull it off. I don't know when it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. It's this thing that is not going away.
I think now it's become painfully clear, maybe not painfully clear, but clear that Dylan Cease will be on this team until the trade deadline, because it doesn't seem like there's enough teams involved right now. Mm-hmm. And we know now that the playoffs has expanded and there's more opportunities for teams to get in, there's going to be more and more teams that are going to be looking for starting pitching to go into the playoffs. If they believe that just getting in, they have a shot, and you're not going to have a shot if you don't have starting pitching. So again, we heard the Orioles and the Yankees and somebody else at some point when we were talking last week.
In Seattle,
and now with, you know, one of those teams seemingly out of the market because they've just got a big pitcher. Maybe they're not really going to make another big move for another starting pitcher. Maybe you kind of just wait. You wait for when you have more teams fighting for one person, the better it's going to be for you.
Yeah, yeah. Look, this is his first year doing all this stuff, and there's going to be, I don't envy him at all. It's drinking from a fire hose. Hopefully he's got some good people around him. I think, again, why are we trying to become the Royals? It's like, well, you want to surround yourself with people that you're comfortable with, that you've worked with before. And that was with the Royals. So I hope he has those people, and I hope they don't. It's not like I want to get rid of Dylan Cease. I don't think he's a good pitcher. And I honestly just don't think the Sox have it in their DNA to re-sign him, even though we all can hope and wish. And I hope the culture changes, the organization changes that way of doing things one day. And it might have to happen with a new ownership group of, we're going to go after arms. We're going to go after pitchers, proven pitchers. Watch out, free agents. Like, we are coming after the pitchers each winter. that would be awesome if the Sox were in conversation like that year after year of we want to just bolster our rotation. So I think, you know, Cease is going to walk eventually. I think it's kind of obvious, but as I thought with Giolito, why don't you want to keep Giolito? It's not like I don't want to keep Giolito. It's just, this is the White Sox way. They're not going to re-sign him. And they pretty much said as much. And there you go at the trade deadline. So,
which would be fine, Nick, if you operated and you had a system like Cleveland does. When Cleveland can afford to get rid of all these great pitchers they've had because they've got another seven or eight guys in the system that are all coming up that they don't have to sign big deals to. All of the Cleveland's pitchers over the years, you know, stay with them for 2-3 years. I don't know where how long Bieber has been. Maybe he's the exception, but all these other guys that have come up through the Cleveland system, they move off of because they know that they've got 2 or 3 more arms ready to go tomorrow if they need to. So yeah. I'm fine if you don't want to sign your pitchers and move on from them and let somebody else pay the exorbitant amount of money that it'll cost to keep them, then make sure you've got the system ripe with other arms ready to go. Not now, not in 2 or 3 years, but right now to take those people's place.
Well, we don't have that in our,
yeah,
in our system right now. You know, we've got some interesting, you know, there's some exciting names. Schultz is definitely a guy people are watching, and there are a few others, but I wouldn't get too excited about it. It's not like we are swimming at all in that type of depth. So, and we've struggled to develop pitchers as is. You know, we had a rotation not too long ago where every single one of those arms was from a different team, you know, that we acquired. Like nobody was homegrown. That could be a problem. That's been a problem. I hope that changes. But in the meantime, it's like we might just have to go buy arms. That's just how you're going to have to do things. So, I don't know if we accomplished anything, Pat.
In 51 minutes, we always accomplish things. We entertained each other. Not everybody in listening, but I was entertained thoroughly.
Do you feel better? I mean, do you feel like just, you know, you can breathe easier, perhaps?
Every time I can see you not in front of a cemetery, I feel great.
So tranquil. I mean, people, I've run a couple marathons and, oh, a bunch of, you know.
Now, that's not the most humble brag I've ever heard.
What else? What other accolades? But I've met and talked to people that would train. They would run in cemeteries. You know, you're not going to run in any traffic, and they're just running on the paved paths. I mean, they would be
some sick people, Nick. You runners, you don't see me doing that.
All right. I do have a Pedro quote of the week. I missed you maybe last week or 2 weeks ago. This one was recently in regards to Yoan Moncada. This is what Pedro Grifol had to say just recently about Moncada feeling so great and all the things that could happen this year. I've talked to him a few times. Moncada feels really good, Grifol said. The back feels great. He's motivated. He's going to get to spring training early on the 31st of January. So he's already there.
Oh,
or 1st of February, which is a great sign. And he's going to put himself in a position to have a great year. We need Moncada. I smell a t-shirt idea. We need
Moncada. Especially in election year. That's a great election type shirt. We need Moncada. Like, he's got the peace sign up like a Richard Nixon. That'd be fantastic.
Yes, that a Grifol shirt with the Nixon, you know, double like victory peace sign, and just we need Moncada. hey man, I hope he's healthy. I hope no one wants anybody to be in any pain, man. And in a back pain, a lower back pain, that is a problem. The fact that he avoided surgery, you know, must have been some extensive PT and a bunch of other exercises. So if he's feeling good and but time will tell, right? You can say all of those things, but time we'll figure out. You know, if
feels good now, feels fantastic now. And I'm sure it does in warm Arizona, although I don't know how warm it is right now, but Let's see how it feels on a 41 degree April day on the south side.
Can't wait. Pat, it is always a pleasure talking White Sox baseball with you, sir.
Buddy, we got to talk about next week. Next week, there's I don't know, a game happening
there's
or something.
There's a big game happening in this time slot. Yeah.
Maybe we do it over halftime and we're your halftime entertainment. I don't know. We'll I'm sure you'll get in front of a morgue or something and send out a message to the masses and let people know when we're recording next.
Is that my new thing? All videos have to be done in a cemetery?
Yeah, that's fine. Cemetery, morgue, you know, find a mortician or something. I think that's maybe the theme of the year.
Well, it's probably we'll figure it out. I think, you know, sometimes an early morning, a brunch podcast might happen, but we'll try to figure something out for next week. Subscribe to the Good Guys Talk Back YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter X at Good Guys TB and subscribe to the podcast wherever you find your podcast, and you'll be alerted with all those happenings. Thank you to everybody jumping in the comments. We do this live on Sunday nights most times when there isn't a big game, and it means a lot. We've been doing this for a long time, and you know, hey, we joke around like this team is going to wear on us in 2024, but we wouldn't have it any other way, talking White Sox, honestly. And we call ourselves crazy for doing this, but we know that we've got a lot of crazy people that are with us. You're in good company, rubbing shoulders with like-minded people. They're all Sox fans, really, that follow this team closely are insane, and I love it. So pass this podcast along to other people in your life. We do appreciate it. He's Pat Hester. I am Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox.